Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you,
Lord. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good afternoon, my dear brothers and sisters. So since today we started 10 minutes late, so I can go 1 hour in my homily. Do you agree? Yeah, I hear sure and I hear Anyways, let's see. If you can tell me, what was the gospel last year? Last year, last week? Aha, now we will take an hour. What was the gospel last week? It was the same gospel as today, right? It's just a different version. Last week, the gospel is focused on the baptism of the Lord. Jesus coming to John, and John said, "Who am I that you come to me? Why should I baptize you? It is I who's supposed to go to you." And today, the gospel is the same thing, but on another perspective. And it gives us a more Eucharistic theme today. What does John the Baptist says? "This is the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. I did not know him, but he existed before me. And the one who sent me to baptize with water told me how I was to recognize him, the Holy Spirit. And now I give testimony of him." Why am I telling you this? Last week, the theme was baptism. But do we really understand what baptism is? Do we really know what we have done, what we have received when we were baptized? I don't want to go to a whole catechesis on baptism, but one thing is that when we were baptized, we were open to the grace of God, and the doors of heaven were open to us, the doors were open to for us towards the other sacraments. Ultimately, the sacrament of the Eucharist. Why? The sacrament of the Eucharist is an encounter between you and your Lord. It's a personal encounter in which there should be at least a gradual change of life. And why do we call it communion? Because you enter into a communion with your Lord, and that communion, that change of heart, should be reflected on your family. And after that, it's reflected on the community. See? From a small communion between you and your Lord to a bigger communion in your family to the bigger scale communion in the community. Baptism opens the doors towards communion. You see, if only we could understand what happens during baptism, And if only we could understand what happens during communion, it would be a whole different world. But what happens? I don't know if you are aware of this article that was circulating on the media. I think it was around 3 months ago, in which they made a study, and the statistic says that out of all the Catholics, and we're talking about Catholics who come to Mass every Sunday, only a 30% of them believe on the true presence in the Eucharist. How sad is that? How dangerous is that? Why is it dangerous? Why do we not believe on the true presence of the Eucharist? Because we have devalued what we are doing. And when the value of the Holy Eucharist decreases, guess what? The meaning of sin also decreases. What used to be sin is not sin anymore. That's our perspective. But the problem is not that it's not a sin, it's that we have forgotten that it is a sin. Why? Because we are in a routine. We fall into a habit of doing things. And that's why when we do these sinful things, we do not see it as sinful, because it's normal now. The same thing happens when we come to Mass and then we hear every Sunday the words, "This is the Lamb of God. This is the one who takes away the sin of the world." But we fall into the routine, into just the habitual thing. And we forget exactly what we are doing. And then because we hear all around us telling us that that's just a symbolism, it's not the true presence, even though we are Catholics, we start putting these things into our mind. And then we fall in the same things. I will not leave the Catholic Church, no. But we fall into these things. We put these things into our heart. Last night before I went to bed, I was watching TV, and I ran into this TV evangelist thing, and it's surprising that they were taking the Eucharist. They distribute this wafer that they have, and then a small pack of juice, zeal, and they were partaking of the Eucharist. See, they know, but they don't want to recognize. Because if they recognize what it is, the truth, their show will go down. No more followers. See? And what did he say? This is only a symbol. This is only a symbolical thing. My dear brothers and sisters, do you really think that when Jesus Christ said, if you want to go to heaven, if you want salvation, you have to drink and eat from my blood. Do you really think that that was a symbolical way of speaking? I don't think so. And how can I say this? Because if he was only symbolically speaking, the people who were listening to him, they would have stayed. But his words, when we see the ancient scriptures on ancient Greek, we can see that Jesus was not speaking symbolically. He was using a language that goes beyond a symbolism. And he was really speaking about his body and his blood. That's why when he said this, what happened? Many of the followers ran away. How can this be? This guy is crazy. How can I eat and drink from his flesh and his blood? And they ran away. If he would have been speaking only symbolically, they would never have ran away. You see? Simple as that. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, we have the best thing that we can have in the whole realm of Christianity. But the problem is that we are not aware of it. We forget things. We fall into the routine. I ask you, my brothers and sisters who are of age now, do you remember the first time you received your communion? It was a whole different thing, right? I have people coming to me, people of age, Father, I remember when I did my first communion. It was beautiful. I encountered with God. I was excited. I knew what I was doing. Why cannot be like this anymore? Because we have forgotten. Where do you think that these kids will receive that willingness, that love for the Eucharist? I can do my part, but they will listen more to you than me. Why do you think that they become basketball players? Why do you think that they want to become gun shooters? Why do you think that they want to become lawyers? They want to become doctors. Why do you think that they want to become a superstar? Because when they are at home and the family is gathered watching football, everybody is excited. Touchdown! And the kids are looking at you with that excitement, with that passion. How about when it comes to the things of God? Do they look at you also with that same passion? How can we expect then that the kids will be passionate about the things of God if we are not passionate ourselves? That's why nobody wants to become priest anymore. Because there is no passion. Because we have forgotten what we are doing. See? Now you will tell me, Father, but we, all of us here, we know what we are doing. That's why we come here. Forgive me with my heart in my hands. But on this side, we see different things. How can I see sometimes that the love and the passion for the Eucharist has been lost? When I come here and I said, the body of Christ. Amen. Thank you. With the bubble gum in the mouth. It is your Lord that you are receiving. Have you ever wondered why I give the, when you come to me like that, have you ever wondered why I give you the Eucharist on one hand only and not just put it in the middle? Because I don't want you to drop your Lord. I don't want to see my Lord in the floor. He should be up there, not down there. But he chose to come down here to be in communion with you. To come into our heart. The body of Christ. Amen. Sometimes I almost drop the Eucharist. You see? We have forgotten what we are doing. When do we do the reverence? Before the person is receiving the Eucharist and I am behind, that's when I do the reverence. Father, but I don't like to do that because if I do that, I feel like I'm doing the reverence to the person in front of me. No, that's not a valid argument. Because if that is the case, then when I said this is the Lamb of God and all of you are doing reverence, you have so many people in front of you. See, what matters is the intention, the disposition that you have. The body of Christ. Amen. My Lord and my God. It is your Lord that you are receiving. Come on. It's not just a symbolism. It is God Himself. You should be there to contemplate Him, to be in a moment of ecstasy when He comes to you. It's not just a symbolism. Because if it was a symbolism, then all the blessings and all the graces that He promised will be only a symbol as well. But He is not a symbolism. He is God Himself. And that's why anything that He has promised, it is also reality. It's not a symbolism. It is God Himself. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, we are called to become sacraments with Christ. We receive the sacrament and we have to be sacraments ourselves. But if we do not understand what we are receiving, how can we become what we receive? When you go for a seminar to become a businessman, you believe what you are doing. That's what, when you come out, you're already practicing what that person told you. When you receive your Lord, do you practice what He is? What is the meaning or the definition of sacrament? Visible reality of the invisible reality. It's a visible sign of the invisible reality. When you receive your Lord and you establish that communion with Him, there should be a gradual change in your life and become a sacrament for others in your family. That charity, that love that He is, should be reflected in you, so that others can see that what you receive is real and not just a symbolism. Father, but how can I do that? If every time I come to Mass, I receive my Lord, and still I have problems, I have all of this, and it seems that He is not listening, then you have not understood what you're receiving. When I present the Eucharist to you, it's complete. But when I say, this is the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world, how is it? Have you ever contemplated? Have you ever paid attention on how do I present it to you when I said, this is the Lamb of God? Isn't it broken? Your Lord presents to you broken. Because He suffered for you. Because He offered Himself for you. It is part of our Christian life to be broken. But if we let this brokenness push us away from Him, then we will die. But if we unite this brokenness to His brokenness, we will go up there. You see? Father, how can you say that? When I go to visit my sick people, Father, I cannot do anything anymore. My life is meaningless. I'm dying. I'm not doing anything. Wait a minute. You are doing more than what you think. Uniting your brokenness to the Lord, you are sanctifying yourself. Allowing and giving the opportunity to your family members and those people who take care of you, you are giving them the opportunity to sanctify themselves. By allowing me to come to you and give you the sacraments, you are giving me an opportunity to sanctify myself. You see, even in our brokenness, we are not meaningless when we unite ourselves with the Lord. We just have to appreciate and understand what we are doing. My dear brothers and sisters, I pray that this community may understand that it is not just a symbolism, that it is Christ Himself who comes to us and He wants to change our heart. He wants to make us sacraments of His reality. As a community of believers, and knowing that our Lord comes to us, we profess our faith in Him as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Creator of heaven and earth.